Okay, we're starting here at the top of Kaf Kedem and Aleph by the Mishnah. In terms of the Mishnah, now we're transitioning over to something called Charamim. Now, Charamim manifest themselves in two ways. It's actually a machloket Tanaim, that if a person, Stam, without any introduction, without any modifier, says that I am Machrim something, whether the Charam goes to the Kohanim, or whether the Charam goes to Hashem. And that's because there are two psukim that address charamim. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar, in Parshat Korach, by the Matnot Kuhna, that says, Kol charam b'Yisrael l'choyeh, or the Kohaniyeh. That any charam in Israel will go to the Kohanim. So that's one pasuk. The pasuk here in Vayikra, Chav Zayin, that says about the charamim, Kol charam kodesh kodeshim hu l'Hashem. Every charam goes to Hashem. So because of that, there's a machloket Tanaim, when someone says that I'm giving a stam charam, whether it goes to the Kohen or goes to Hashem. What's clear according to both those opinions is, if you specify who the Kherim goes to, then it works. If you say Kherim la Kohanim, then it definitely goes to the Kohanim. If you say Kherim la Hashem, it definitely goes to the Bedek Habayit. So that's number one. Number two is, the Pasuk in Korach is clearly talking about or speaking about Kharmei Kohanim, Kherim that goes to the Kohanim. The Pasuk here in Vayikra Chav Zayin, which is Pasuk Chav Chet, it's unclear what it's speaking about. The Gemara is going to end up parsing the Pasuk in half and saying half of it relates to Charamim of the Kohanim and half of it relates to Charmei Hashem. And that is the Pasuk reads, Ach kocherem asher yacharim ish l'Hashem mikol asher lo me'adam ubeima umisteach huzato lo yimacher velo yigael. He may not sell it, he may not redeem it. Chazal, the Gemara is going to say that that's referencing Charmei Kohanim. Charmei Kohanim may not be redeemed. On the other hand, Kol Cherem, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu Hashem, that's the Cherem that goes to Hashem, and over there you can redeem it, because the whole purpose of giving a Cherem to the Bedek Abayit is that it's monetized, because Bedek Abayit can't do anything except use the proceeds or the monies. Bedek Abayit has no use for anything besides the proceeds in order to use it for the upkeep of the Mikdash, or designation of the Kodesh. Whereas by the Kohanim, the object is given to the Kohen himself, and once the Kohen receives it, it becomes Chulin. Right, so that's just a quick background about Charamim. Now we'll start on Mishnah. Machrim adam mitzono umi bekaro. Person can be machrim a portion of his flocks, a portion of his cattle, umi abadav umi shivchotav, his slaves or his maidservants, these are kana'anim, umi steach uzato, or of his property, v'mechrim et kulam inam muchramim. If he's matish machrim everything, it does not work. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. Ma'im the Gvoa, when we're speaking about donations to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Adam Rashai Lachrim Kol Nechasav, a person does not have permission to make Kherim out of all of his possessions. Achad Chama V'Kama, She'adam Chas on Nechasav. Certainly so, a person should be careful with how his expenditures, with his own personal property, how he spends them, and how he gives them to others. So now the Gemara wants to know, Menahani Mile. So the Pasuk that we read before from Vayikra Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Chet, says, Mikol Asher Lo, V'lo Kol Asher Lo. Says, from all of his possessions, but not all of his possessions. The mem, the modifier me, means from amongst, but not all. So when it says, Ach kocherem asher yachrim ish l'Hashem, mi kol asher lo. So that mem, the me, is a modifier. And the Gemara would say, in addition to that, we have me adam, velo kol adam. Again, you have the mem who is a modifier, and not all people that you own. Meaning, not all servants that you own. You could take some of them, not all of them. Now the next part of the braita that's being quoted over here, it's unclear if it's really true, because in the pasuk there is no mi behema. It just says me adam u behema. What you could say is that the me adam is also modifying the u behema, because the vav chibur makes them adam u behema, and the adam is modified by the me. You could say that the me adam also modifies the behema, and you could say that's me behema, but lo kol behema. Otherwise, you could see on the side here, the Masoret HaShatz says that it's not included. In some of the girsaot that they had, there is no me behema. Mistei achuzato, it says in the pasuk, umistei achuzato. So again, below kol stei achuza. Yachal o yachrim. So you would think maybe you're not allowed to do this. But if you actually do it, it goes through. So the chadchila, you can't do it. But b'di'evit, if you did it, it works. Tamal Omar, Ach, the pasuk begins, Ach kol cherem asher yachrim ish l'Hashem. Ach is a mute. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's the position of Rabbi Eliezer. That explains his position in our Mishnah, that you cannot be makdish all of your possessions. Again, we have Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Mayim l'gvoa, en adam rasher l'achrim, kol nechasav, just like for Kodesh, one can't be dedicating all of his possessions to them. A person should be careful. Again, we'll get back to whether there is a makhluk between them or what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is adding over here. Tzricha, I need all of these details in the pasuk. Pasuk we quoted says, Mikol asher lo, me adam ubeima, umisteach uzato. Is that there are three different miutim, at least three, maybe four miutim in the pasuk. Why do I need each one of them individually? Because I would have said, Mikol asher lo, had it just written from amongst his possessions, Havamina kol ditlei lo lachrim. All of his possessions he can't give. Havamina chad b'charmei kulei. But from one single type or category of possession, he would be able to give away all of it. So therefore, Katav Rachmano me Adam, velo kol Adam, to teach you even within subcategories, you can't give away all the subcategories. V'katav Rachmano me Adam, if it had just written from amongst his servants, velo sayilei, below avuda, that he's not able to go without having others that help him, without servants amongst him in the house. It's very interesting, again, Gemara, and for the sense that person would be unable to live without people servicing him. But if he doesn't have any fields, if he gives away all of his property, he can become a serf. He can become a chuker, can become a aris, a sharecropper. So he can gain or he can work in the fields by doing it in other people's fields. V'iyashmi'inan, and here there's a girsa, interesting enough, where there's a girsa that says, Ishmanin and Sadeh, and I just had Sadeh, Mishum dechiyuta, because that's the lifeline of a person, that's where he gets his food from, that's where he will support himself. Aval Adam, Sagilei, Bishamo, Balma. A person doesn't need servants to service him, he can just have a shamash. He can have someone that takes care of him, doesn't literally have to have servants or many servants, he can just have someone who's a shamash, and that would be sufficient. So I need Adam to teach me one, I need Sadeh to teach me the other. Then, if he had told me these two, those are essential for living. Just other possessions, your other possessions, then you can get rid of all of them. So therefore I have me, kol asher lo. So that's why it says, you can't give away everything. Everything both in a total sense, and everything in a individual category sense. So the Gemara says, what about ubeima, lamali? So over here, the girsa you see is ubeima. So it's not, the Gemara here is aware of the fact that there is no mi beima. Again, I think it might be because it's modified by the me adam ubeima. So what I have the ubeima lamalei getanya, that teaches me another lima, which is from the Braita. Yocho yacharim adam beno uvito abdo v'shivchato ha'ivriim. I would think that a person could donate his young children or his servants and maidservants, but these are his Jewish servants and maidservants. Uste miknato, or a field that he purchased, not a field that he owns, but he purchased. He has a leasehold on the field till the Yovel. Tamalomer Behema. From Behema I learn. Ma Behema Yeshlo Rishut Lemochra. Just like by an animal where he has total possession, total ownership over it, and he can sell it. Avkosh Yeshlo Rishut Lemochra. So too, the only items that he can be machrim are items that he has permission otherwise to sell. So that maybe would exclude Beno Bito Aktanim. He can't sell his children. And Avdo V'Shivchato Ivrim, which he also doesn't have a right to sell. It's a right to have them until the 7 years expire, or for an Amma Ivriya, until she reaches of age as well. Any of those will release them, but he doesn't have a right to sell them to another party. So therefore he cannot be machrim them. Where it says, is that really true? His daughter, he does have the right to sell as an Amma Ivriya. Yeshul Rishut Mokhra. He could sell her as an Amma Ivriya. He can marry her off. So Yachal Yacharim, no. So maybe he can also be machrimer. So Malomar Behema, Ma Behema Yeshua Shut Mokhra Le'olam. Just like an animal, you have rights to sell it forever. Afkos Yeshua Shut Mokhra Le'olam. So to any other item that you have the right to sell forever, that's not true by his daughter. There's only a window of opportunity in which he has the right to sell his daughter. That's why she's still a Ktana. Question mark when she's a Ne'ara. But at least only when she's a Ktana can he sell her. Beyond that point, he doesn't have the right to sell her. So therefore, she is excluded from the Parsha of Charamim. And therefore, he cannot be machrim these items, because these items he doesn't have that type of ownership over. He doesn't have full ownership that he can then exchange for something else. I mean, he can't sell it. And therefore, he cannot also be machrim it. So now to the question of what is the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, im legvoa in adam rashai. If a person is not allowed to do this legvoa for ekdesh, then certainly he can't do it in the mundane for lay people. So what's interesting about this, Tosfot point this out, the pasuk that we just quoted, in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Chet in Vayikra, I said before that the beginning of the pasuk says lo yimecher v'lo yigael. That beginning of the pasuk was talking about charmei kohanim. It's charamim that go to the kohen. And over here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is being medayek that the charamim, if you can't do it in the kodesh, then you certainly can't do it for lay people. You can't do it with your regular possessions, giving them away and not taking care of them. How could you make such a kal v'chomer? It's not going to gvoa. It's going to the kohanim. It's not going to Hashem. So from that, Tosafot comes to an interesting conclusion that Yesh Lamar, Dafilu Charmei Kohanim, Hanitanim the Kohanim, Yesh Bem Kedushat Aguf. When you actually Magdish them, they attain a level of Kedushat Aguf. When the Kohen receives them, they turn into Chulim. But before the Kohen receives them, they attain a level of Kedushat Aguf that's equivalent to Kodashim that go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of that level of Kedushat that they attain, they're classified as if they are Ligvoha. Which would be more like, or along the lines of, that they are going Mishuchan Kavoa, Kazochi Kohanim. That they're getting it from Hashem, because they become Kedushat Aguf. Since they're designated to the Kohanim are the receivers of that Kedushat Aguf. But Tosafot has to do that in order to reconcile between Chazal's understanding of the first half of the Pasuk speaking about Charmei Kohanim, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah's explanation that we're talking about Gavoa here. So Gemara asks, exactly what you asked Tzvi in the Mishnah, Ainu Tanakama. What's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is just a derivative of the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Where it says, Ikya Deveinayu, Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Ila. The difference between them is what Rabbi Ila said, Damar Rabbi Ila, Bu'usha Yitkinu, Hamibazvez, Ayivazvez Yoter Michomesh. That person who expends money, whether it's on a mitzvah, whether it's in giving, a tzedakah, should not expend more than 1/5 of his possessions. We have an instance where someone wanted to spend more than 1/5 of his possessions, and his friends did not allow him to do this. Umanu, who were these friends? Rabbi Yeshevav. Vamrila, some say Rabbi Yeshevav was the one who wanted to make the donation, and those that did stop him, Umanu, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who stopped him. Now in the Machloket, obviously Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will be the champion of the position of Usha, because he's the one who says that a person shouldn't expend all of his possessions, he should be careful about his possessions. So he'll be the one who says that he shouldn't expend more than a chomesh. He'll hold of this takanat Usha. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says that's not true. There is no such takanat Usha. There's no such limitation. The only limitation is all of your possessions. But less than that, you can do. Now, where do they come up with a chomesh? How do you know that you're only supposed to expend 1/5 of your possessions on a mitzvah? Because they learned it out of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, it says, Trei Yisurim, 2/10. Why 2/10? Because he promises to Hashem, if you take care of me and you bring me back here, B'Shalom, Aser Esrenu Lach, I will give you Maser. But Aser Esrenu, a tenth and a tenth is 2/10, 1/5. So from that they learn out, it's not the Pashtut, the Pasuk, Aser Esrenu Lach really means just 1/10. But because he used the double Lashon, they say that equals 1/5. So we see that it's worthy or okay to donate 1/4 of the one's possessions to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to a mitzvah, but beyond that, it's not appropriate for one to expend his possessions.
So it's what is the mafalik?
Whether there's a cap of 1/5 or not. Maybe Elazar ben Azariah says there's a cap of 1/5. But Elazar says the only cap is that you shouldn't expend all your money. Doesn't say anywhere that there's any limitation. The only limitation is don't do all of it, otherwise you're fine. No, the Rabbi Zerman is dealing with mundane issues, not Kodesh. That's the only hint that we have at it. Otherwise, it's not clear in the Mishnah that this is the machloket between them. Hamachrim b'no vito v'avdov shivchato ha'ivrim usle miknato ein muchramim. So that we just saw in the Gemara, why? That doesn't work. She'en adam machrim davar she'enu shelo. Person get me machrim, something that doesn't belong to them. And all these issues, we said, you don't have ownership over them. You don't have ownership over your children, because you can't sell your children. You have ownership over your servants, maidservants that are Jewish, because you may not transact in them, you may not sell them. Uste miknato is you only have a leasehold. You don't have a right to sell such a field. You have a right to sell the leasehold, you don't have a right to sell the field, and therefore you can't be machrim them. A kohanim v'alevim ein machrimim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that a kohen and a levi are not machrim, because they already own it. They're going to get it back. What happens? Well, there's two reasons. One reason it deals with the Kohanim, because if you're machrim to a Kohen, then it goes back to the Kohen. So what's the point of a Kohen being machrim? Number two is Levi'im. By Levi'im, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Perachav Hei, that when it comes to their possessions, that'll be l'achuzat olam t'yelahem. That their possessions will remain there with them forever. Now, maybe that's true by the Levi'im. Question of whether we apply that to the Kohanim or not Tosafot asks that whether that also has application by the Kohanim. That maybe just like the Levim have the pasuks written by Levi, we're going to extend it because a Kohen is just a subcategory of Levi, and Kohen also will have that, which is that Ochuzak Tulam Tielahem, that their possessions will remain with them forever. But either way, Ein Machrimim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kohanim Ein Machrimim. That's only true by the Kohanim, Shach Haramim Shalem, because they are the receivers of the Haramim. Valevim Machrimim. But Levim on the other hand can't be Machrimim, Shein Acharamim Shalem, because the Haramim are not theirs. So I'm Rabbi Nirim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Bekarkot. Rabbi Yehuda's statement makes sense by Karko, by land. Shneamar, because it says, Ki Achuzat Olam Hi Lahem. Because Achuzat Olam Hi Lahem, it's written by the Levim. But again, Kohanim are only a subset of Levim. So therefore, by Karka, we'll say that it has application by the Levim as well. Or, we have the other Lashon, which is that this applies to the Levi. And then, the Kohanim get the Haramim. So there's their reason for not being able to be Machrim. But over here, at least we have a reason not to ban the Levi be Machrim. So that'll apply to Kohanim and Levim, but that's only by real property, by land. We do Rabbi Shimon by Metaltalim. Rabbi Shimon makes sense by Metaltalim, Shein Haramim Shalahem. Because when it comes to Metaltalim, the Haramim don't belong to them. Or, in other words, because the Pasuk of Levim is only written by Achuzah. It's written by real property. It's not written by non-real property. And the Haramim are not received by them, as opposed to Kohanim who do receive the Haramim. So Rabbi wants to divide up and say Rabbi Yehuda is by Karko, that both Kohanim and Levim cannot be Machrim. And Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Kohanim cannot be Machrim, but Levim can, by Metaltalim. Okay, there Rabbi Yehuda. Bishlamo Kohanim ain't Machrimim. I understand Rabbi Yehuda's position in the sense that Kohanim can't be Machrim because Acharamim Shalem. Ela Levim, by Levim, Bishlam Amikarke. We're dealing with land, real property, lo Machrime. I understand why they can't be Machrim. Dichtiv, Kiak Bzat Olam Hilahem. Pasuk in Vayikuchavay, when it comes to real property of the Levi, it says there that he can't sell it forever. He's not allowed to sell it forever. That means he doesn't have a right to give it away. Ela Metaltol Ela Charme. But Rabbi Shimon's right. When it comes to Metaltalim, where does Rabbi Yehuda come off saying that Metaltalim, a Levi, cannot be Machrim? So Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, our Pasuk over here, in Vayikruch of Zayin, Pasuk of that, Mi kol ha-shelo, umi ste'achuzato. It says all of his possessions, and his ste'achuzah. You cannot be Machrim, all of your possessions. You cannot be Machrim, all of your property, but some of it you can. Mekish Metaltalim, the Karkot. The Vehekish here in the Pasuk between Karka and Metaltalim. So therefore, just like by Karko, the Levi cannot be Machrim, so too we'll have that same application by Metaltalim. The Rabbi Shimon, Bishlam of Kohanim Kedamran. We understand his position by Kohanim, because like we said, El Levim, Bishlam and Metaltalim. By Levim, I understand why Metaltalim, that they can't be a Machrim to Lo Mekish. He doesn't have the Sekish. El Mepikarke, when it comes to land or real property, why can a Levi be Machrim? Am I active? Keuzat Olam Hilachem. That the property is theirs forever. So how could it be? My machrim nami dekamar. What does it mean that they are allowed to be machrim? Metaltalim. Rabbi Shimon only made a statement with regards to metaltalim, did not make a statement with regards to karka. V'amik dani seifa. Wait, at the end of the Mishnah says, I'm a rabbi, nirim divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'mekarke, divrei Rabbi Shimon metaltalim. So when Rabbi comes along and says, I think Rabbi Yehuda's right by Karka, and Rabbi Shimon's right by Metaltalim, Michal, Rabbi Shimon Mekarke Nami Kamar. Why does he have to say Rabbi Shimon's right by Metaltalim if he only spoke about Metaltalim? It must be that he spoke about Metaltalim and Karka, and Rabbi says, you're only right by Metaltalim. So Mara says, no, Achi Kamar. I'm a Rabbi, Nirim de Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Shimon Bekarkaot. That Rabbi Yehuda's position, Rabbi Shimon agrees to by real property. Shav Rabbi Shimon lo nechlak alev elo be Metaltalim. Because Rabbi Shimon only argued by Metaltalim. So everybody agrees by Karka, Kohen and Levi cannot be Machrim. Kohen no, because he receives the property, he's the receiver of the property. Levi no, because it says, Ki achuzat olam hi lahem, and therefore they retain the property. Again, some of the Rishonim want to apply that also to the Kohanim, because they're a subset of Levim. But either way, by Karka, real property, they cannot be Machrim. Machloket revolves around Metaltalim. Rabbi Shimon of Metaltalim says that the Levi can be Machrim, because there's no reason not to. It's not achuzat olam, it's not real property. He's also not the receiver of the haramim. So there's no reason that a Levi can't be machrim metaltalim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right, that's true, but I have a hekesh. I have a hekesh between karka and metaltalim by haramim, and therefore just like by karka, the Levi can't be machrim, so too by the metaltalim, he cannot be machrim. And Rabbi says that Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yehuda by karka, which as we just saw, that makes sense, and Rabbi Shimon only argues by metaltalim. And therefore, Shav Rabbi Shimon lechalav el metaltalim avo bekarkot, modulei, when it comes to karka, he agrees to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chiya Rabin. Achrim metaltlin nutnan dechol kohen shirtzeh. What do you mean? If you have an achrim, you have to give it to the kohenim in general? No, you can give it to whichever kohen you want. And therefore, if a kohen is machrim, is metaltlin, he gives it back to himself. That's why there's no point in a kohen being machrim. Now that's true by metaltlin. It's not true by karka. By karka is a little harder to understand why, if he's machrim, is karka, then why doesn't have to go to all the kohenim? Instead of it just coming back to him. So maybe that shouldn't exist over there. And that's why though some of the Rishonim say by Karka, the Kohen is really a subset of Levi. By Levi it says, Ki achuzat olam hilahem, and that will apply to the Kohen as well. So to answer your question about why is it, what do you mean that the Kohen can't be Machrim because he gets it back? It may be true by Metaltlim, it's not necessarily true by Karka. By Karka we may use the Pasuk of Levi in order to help the Kohen because he's a subset of Levi. So Ne'amar, because it says, Ko cherem bi Israel, when it comes to Kol Cherem b'Yisrael, this is the pasuk in Korach. All Cherem will go to Choyeh. L'Choyeh means to you, Aron uvanav, to the Kohanim. All Charamim go to the Kohanim. Hefkrim sidotav. Vizmachrim is fios notan the Kohen shebeoto mishmar. Then it's distributed to the Kohanim that are in that mishmar. Shenemar kester acherem the Kohen tia achuzato. When it comes to Estei Achuza, at the end of the parsha of Estei Achuza, it says, "Vayas adibet etoliovel kodesh Hashem kistei acherem b'kohen tia achuzato." Compares it to a sadeh acherem, and we know what happens to Estei Achuza in the Yovel. Estei Achuza in the Yovel is distributed to the Kohanim. So just like Estei Achuza is distributed to the Kohanim, so too Estei Acherem will be distributed to the Kohanim, like the Estei Achuza is. And the answer is v'gamar l'kohen, l'kohen migezel agir. So as you were saying, it's circular. Compares Estei Achuza to Estei Acherem, and now we're saying, oh, Estei Achuza goes to the Kohanim, so Estei Acherem must go to the Kohanim. So which one is the limud? So the answer is that we have in that pasuk, Estei Acherem la Kohen tia. So la Kohen, you'll have Gzeirah Shava, la Kohen from here to la Kohen of Gezel Agir. Gezel Agir is fair and in Bamidbar Hei and Parshat Naso. Over there, you have a parsha about someone who steals from an individual, takes a shvat sheker that he did not steal. And then, when he goes to return it, the person doesn't exist. And there are no Yorshim. So the Gemara says, or Dashan, that there's only one person in Klal Yisrael that does not have any Yorshim. That's a Ger. And therefore, we're talking about someone who stole from a Ger. The Ger passes away without any Yorshim. And now you want to return it to him. You want to do Tshuva. So what do? You pay a Keren v'chomesh. You pay to the Kohanim. And you bring an El Asham. You bring an Asham Gzeilot. So how do you know over there that Lashem LaKohen, it's given to the Kohen? Because the Tanya. Hashem the Kohen. Kano Hashem, v'natno the Kohen, shiboto mishmar. Why does it say in the pasuk Hashem the Kohen? Is it to Hashem or is it to the Kohen that you're giving the Keren the Chomesh? The answer is to both. You're giving it to Hashem, but the Kohen receives it on behalf of Hashem. So Hashem receives the money, and then he gives it to the Kohen. Shiboto mishmar. Talomer the Kohen, shiboto mishmar. How do you know it goes just to the Kohen in that mishmar, not to any Kohen you want? Shomer, because over there in the pasuk by the korban hasham that you bring, it says milvad el kipurim asher yichaper bo alav. So the Gemara dashes that aside from the el kipurim is the hasham that you must bring asher yichaper bo alav. Harei b'kohen shoto bishmar akatuv midaber. So it's clear that it's talking about the kohen in that mishmar because the pasuk says the kohen hamichaper bo be'el kipurim yehi keren v'chomesh. Whoever the el kipurim goes to, that is who the monies will go to. The El HaKippurim is the Hasham. Asher Yechaper Bo'alav is the Keren V'Chomesh. So that'll go to whichever coin the El Hasham goes to. And the El Hasham goes to all the Kohenim of that Mishmar. So we're talking about the Kohenim of that Mishmar, not to any coin that you just designate. So therefore, the Sadeh, HaYotza LeKohenim B'Yovel, Notna LeMishmar Shepagba Bo HaYovel. So the Sadeh, when it's distributed on the Yovel, goes to the Mishmar, that the Yovel falls out on. Whatever Mishmar is working at the time the Yovel falls out, they are the beneficiaries of all the Estei Achuza, as well as all the Charamim that need to be distributed to the Kohanim. So the question that you asked before, which is that if a Kohen is Makdish his own property, why are we so sure that he gets it back? Why is it that he can't be Makrim because he gets it back? He doesn't get it back. If it's not his Mishmar, he doesn't get it back. So Tosafot asks your questions, what I've been mentioning all along, if you look to the right. Right where the Gemara, at the top line of the Gemara, if you look to the right there in the Tosafot, he says, Vim came, Im hichrim kohen sadehu me'inu mishmarto, amayonu tzarech litna l'kohen, shiboto mishmar. Exactly your question. Why don't you have to give it to the kohen in that mishmar? It's not his. Tzarech lemar, de la ravcha de milto mar hachi. That the Mishnah said this unnecessarily. Sharei im echrim kohen sadehu enu cherem dektiv achuzat el olam ilam. Af agav degabi levim hu dektiv yino trinim by levim istam lekohenim nami ochiu. Kohenim are a subset of Levi, and so that pasuk also applies to the Kohenim. Tosafot says in the end that it's not the ikar reason that the Kohen is not Makdish, his karka. It might be true by Metaltalim, because by Metaltalim you can give it to whatever Kohen you want. So there it's true that the Kohen is Makrim, he gives it back to himself, so it's meaningless. But by karka, the reason that he cannot be Makrim is the same as the Levi, which is that, Ki'achuzat ulam hilam, that it remains for them forever. Alright, now the Gemara asks a question. Ibailu, pagobo b'shabbat mai. What happens if Yom Kippur in the year of the Ovel falls out on Shabbat? And we know on Shabbat that the Mishmarot change. The new Mishmar comes, the old Mishmar leaves. So, who does it go to? Does it go to the Mishmar that's going out? Or the Mishmar that's coming in? Well, now the Mishmar, how you'd say, it goes to the Mishmar that is exiting. I mean, the Mishmar that was there when Shabbat came in, when Yom Kippurim came in, that's when it happened. And Rav Nachum Yitzchok, Tanya Nami Yochai, Rav Breitin supports that. Nimsa Tadomer, Chad Yovel v'chad Shvi'it, Mishamtim ke'achad, the Yovel and Shvi'it happen simultaneously, El Shovel b'tchilato. The Yovel happens in the beginning, Shmita basof, and the Shmita is in the end. So you see that the Yovel is Mishamate in the beginning, so therefore we're here too. But the Yovel, when Yom HaKippurim falls out on Shabbat, the Mishmar that's working when it comes in, when it happens, at the beginning of Shabbat, that's the Mishmar Yotzei, that's the Mishmar that works the night, Friday night, and Shabbat morning, and therefore they're the ones, they'll be the recipients of all the property that comes out on the Yovel. Alright, the Gemara says, Adarabba. The Gemara here is a little cryptic, but the Gemara is saying, what do you mean that Mishamtim Ke'achad, Yovel and Shvi'it happen simultaneously, and then we say, Ewa, Sheyovel B'tchilatov, Shmita B'sof, except that the Yovel's in the beginning and the Shmita's in the end. They go, I don't know, that doesn't make sense. Mishum Hachi Havi. That's the reason. It's not Ewa, but that's the reason. The reason Shmita and Yovel happen simultaneously is because the Yovel works in the beginning, and the Shmita works at the Sof. At the end. So Gemara says, Ema, so that's exactly, Mipnei. Don't write Ewa, Emily Mipnei. She echad Yovel v'echad Shvi'it mishamtim k'echad. Why? Mipnei. She Yovel b'tchilato v'shmita b'sofa. That's the reason for the beginning of the Braita, not Ela, but that this is a difference between them. But that's the reason that the Yovel and Shmita happen simultaneously is because Shmita happens at the end, Yovel happens in the beginning, and therefore at the end of the 49th year, the beginning of the 50th year, they'll both be in action. Alright, the Yovel works in the beginning, Shmita works in the Sof. That's the proof, to Rav Chir Ba'ami, Shum Chufano, that he goes to the Mitzrayim Yotzei because they were there at the beginning. And we see that Yovel is Mishametet in the beginning. So since they were at the beginning when the Yovel started, they're the ones who will get the property. So now the Gemara asks a question about the Lashona Breita. Breita says, Yovel and Shvi'it are the same, Mishamtim Ke'echad, they happen simultaneously, because Shmita happens at the end of the 49th year. And Yovel happens at the beginning of the 50th year. That's the crossover between them. At the junction between Shmita and Yovel, the end of the 49th year, the beginning of the Yovel, the Shmita happens for both of them. Why? Ella, but. Why but? The second half of the Breita is the explanation for the first half of the Breita. Why does the Shmita and the Yovel happen simultaneously? Because the 49th year in the end is Mishametet, and the 50th year in the beginning is Mishametet. So it's the reason for the first half of the Breita. It's not an exception. It's not a but. The word but is misplaced over there. But is the wrong conjunction word there. It should be because. The Gemara says you're right. Enoch and Ami, you mend the Breita to read Mipnei. It's the explanation of the first half of the Mishnah. Why is it that Shmita and Yovel are Mishametet at the same time? Because Shmita happens at the end of the year, and Yovel happens at the beginning of the year. All right, so now the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that? Bishlam HaShvi'it B'sofa. How do I know that Shvi'it is Mishametet B'sof D'Uktiv? Because Sheva Shanim Tase Shmita, at the end of the 7 years, that's when it's Mishametet. Over here we're talking about Shmitat Ksafim. But truthfully, all the Rishonim agree with this. There's a Shita Tarosh. Strangely, the Rosh, the things that Shmita is Mishametet B'tchilat HaShana. So because of that, some people are makpid to have a prusbol made before the beginning of the Shmita year in order to be choshish with the Shita the Rosh. But over here, everybody else says, Miketz Sheva Shanim, Tase Shmita. At the end of the Shmita year, that's when you have Shmita Ksafim. El Yovel B'tchilato. How do I know that Yovel in the beginning of the year is Mishametet? Because the Yom HaKippurim Yudichtiv. Because Yovel is Mishametet on Yom Kippur. V'Yom HaKippurim Tavivu Shuvar B'chol Artzichem. On Yom Kippur, you blow the shofar to release all the properties. Okay, that still doesn't help you, right? That doesn't help you. Because that means Shemitah, the last day of the year, Rosh Hashanah comes in the 50th year, all the Ksafim are Mishametet, but Yovel only happens on Yom HaKippurim, 10 days later. When it says, Amani Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Brokoli, Demar, Rosh Hashanah, Hu, Dechayel Yovel. It's true, you only announce the Yovel and Yom Kippurim, but it's retroactive to Rosh Hashanah. It's the announcement, the shofar is blown in Yovel to make symbolize that. But Ein Hachanami, it's retroactive to Rosh Hashanah. Shama Chizkiya Bar Biluto V'Azav Amar Kameh D'Rabbi Abo. He says, L'Yikesh Metaltei Ele Karkaot. Why aren't we making Shmetaltelim to Karkaot? So he says, Lab T'Nai. Isn't that a Machloket T'Naim? D'Ika De Mekish, V'Ika De Lo Mekish. There's some that are Mekish, some are not Mekish. Kamandam Ar Lo Makshinan. According to that, the one that does this, that they were not Mekish. The Karkaim to the Metaltelim, that's the Machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon we saw before. So he's asking, why aren't we making Shmetaltelim to Karkaot? That way, by Cherem, the din of Metaltelim should be the same din as the Karkaot. And just like we say that the Karkaot are distributed to the Mishmar that the Yovel falls out, why don't we say the same thing by the Metaltelim? He says, that's a Machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, we are making Metaltelim to Karkaot. Rabbi Shimon says, we're not. So the answer is that that statement that metaltelim that your makrim can be given to any coin you want is gemar damar lo makshina. It's according to Rabbi Shimon who says we're not makish between metaltelim and karkaot, and therefore they have an independent din. Metaltelim go to whichever coin you wish. Karkaot go to the coinim in which the yovel falls out. The mishmar that is working at the time that the yovel falls out. All right, next mishnah. Karmei koinim en lam pidyon elonotim the koinim kitruma. Karmei koinim they have no pidyon. But you give them to the Kohanim. Pasuk, and we read this before, because it says in the Pasuk, Lo yimacher, v'lo yigael. Yehuda ben Beteiro omer, stam charamim lebedek habayit. If you didn't specify, you didn't modify where you want the cherem to go, it goes to bedek habayit, because the end of that Pasuk says, Kol cherem, kodesh kodeshim hu, l'Hashem. So that all stam charamim go to Hashem. Kumim harim, stam charamim lekohanim. We say that if you just say cherem without any modifier, it goes to Kohanim, because it says, it'll be, your steach cherem will be just like the steach huzat goes to the Kohen. In gain, lamen emar, kol cherem kodesh kodeshim nahula Hashem. So what are they going to do with the pasuk that says it goes to Hashem? They're going to learn from that, shechal al kodeshe kodeshim va kodeshe kalim. That you can be machrim, even korbanot. Being machrim, something that's designated as a kodesh kodeshim, an olah, something that's designated as a shalim, kodeshim kalim, you can also be machrim. So machrim adam et kodeshav. So here the Mishnah explains how do you do that. Ben kodesh kodeshim, ben kodeshim kalim. Im neder, if it's a neder, meaning that if the korban that he's going to be machrim is a neder, that means that he has a personal obligation to ensure that this korban is brought, notein to mehem, then he gives their full value. Because he's machrim it, he's machrim this korban. What's this korban worth to him? This korban is worth to him everything, all the money that it is, because if this gets lost, he's going to have to replace it, because he has a nether to ensure that this will get on his back. So if he's makrim a korban that he has a nether to bring, he pays the full value of it. Im nidava, if it's simply a donation, meaning that this animal itself has to end up on his back, but he has no personal obligation to ensure that it gets there, then what's the value to him? Notena tovatan, he gives the tova. What's the tovatana? Shor ze ola. This shore is an olah. Umdim kama adam rotzei litein b'shor zeh la'alot olah. Afal pi she'eino rashai, even though, now the word rashai here does not mean permitted. Afal pi she'eino chayav, he's not obligated to do it. Nevertheless, he would donate an olah. Person, this is a shore olah. Person walks by and he says, listen, how much would you pay to give this as a gift to Hashem? That's the tovatana. That person will buy an olah for a certain price. Whatever that discount is, he'll buy an olah and give it to Hashem. That's the value that you have to give. So someone who's not obligated to donate an olah and would donate the olah, how much would he pay to do that? And that's how much this person will owe in terms of the tovat hana'a. Habachor, ben tam uvein balmum, machrimim oto. Habachor, whether it's a tam or balmum, you can be machrimit, v'keitzet vodim oto. How much do you redeem it for? Umdim, kam adam rotze, liten bebechor zeh, lidno, leven vito, leven achuto. How much would somebody pay to have this bechor be given to their grandchild? Now again, the grandchild is the Ben Bito, the son of his daughter. His daughter married a Kohen. He's in Israel. And his daughter is married to a Kohen. That means his grandchild is a Kohen. He could pay someone to give the Bechor to his grandson. Now, the reason we want that is because if it was a Kohen, it would not be permitted. We learned this in Bechorot, because then it looks like a Kohen, a Messiah, a Begranot. It looks like he's paying for his Matnot Kuna, which we don't want. But by Israel, it's clear he's not paying for the Matnot. He's just paying for the right that the Israel has to give the Bechor to whomever he wants. There's a value to that. Yes, the Bechor belongs to the Kohen, but the Israel has the right to give it to whichever Kohen he wants, and that has value. That value, someone will pay you for. The grandfather will pay you to give it to his grandchild. So that's the value. That's the tovat hana'ah when you're machrim bechor. Oh, the ben achuto, or to the son of his sister. His sister marries a kohen. That means his nephew now is a kohen. The uncle will pay off for his nephew to have the bechor given to him. So that's the tovat hana'ah. Actually, when we had it in the Gemara in Brachorot, Rashi only brought the tovat hana'ah of this last line in the Mishnah. Over there, Tosafot says, I'm sorry, Rashi, that's not the only tovat hana'ah. We have it in the Mishnah explicitly. There's other ways to calculate tovat hana'ah. Depends what it is. If it's a neder, if it's kodashim and it's a neder, pay the full value. If it's a nidava, you pay how much someone would pay to have this be a donation to the mikdash. But if it's a bechor, you're right. If it's a bechor being distributed to a specific kohen, over there we have the tovat hana'ah that's mentioned here, the last line of the Mishnah, which is, how much would you pay someone to give it to the designee that you want? And that would be the classification of the tovat hana'ah. We'll stop over here.